Christmas seminar theme, next step, illumination. I am spiritually illumined. Friday, December 26th, lecture 2. I am spiritually illumined. Nice redundant comment there. I am spiritually illumined. Are you spiritually illumined? We like to think that we're spiritually illumined. And of course we are. But many times in our life, we are things that we don't know we are. And we don't act like we are the things that we don't know that we are. If you were a musician and you had great talent as a musician, say a pianist, and you have no piano, you might not realize that you have great talent there. You might not realize that you can play the piano exceedingly well. You may have played it and thought about it, but then you completely forgot because you don't have a piano at your hands. And you say, well, how could anyone ever forget playing the piano? Well, you think you forgot how to ride a bike. You think you forgot how to roller skate. You think you forgot how to ice skate. You think you forgot how to do a lot of things. And you know what people think they forget how to do the most in all of life? They forget how to have fun. When they were little children, they were born with the capacity and the vivacity of having fun. They had fun doing anything. They would do silly things to their sisters or their brothers, and they'd pick on their mother, and they'd stand behind a corner, and they'd say, "You can't see me." And of course, it's a wonderful game. It's just having fun. And the mother, who is a very wise mother, as all mothers are, she says, "I wonder where my child is. I wonder, I've been looking all over. Ha ha, you can't see me." And the kid goes on in such little nonsense, you know, and the mother plays the game with the child and says, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to eat this ice cream all by myself. Here I am, here I am, here I am." And you see, it's just having fun. It's just being filled with the joy of the spirit of foolishness, if you will. But is it foolishness? Or is it that magical aspect of taking the totally, totally, totally unimportant and letting it be a joyous thing? Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if we didn't forget that? Well, we didn't forget it. Because you can remember me telling you right now, but you didn't forget it. But you did a silly thing, you grew up, and you thought, "I am too sophisticated to do that." And have you ever come in upon your husband or your wife or your friend, and you come in the back of them, and you give them a kiss on the back of the neck, and they, "Oh, stop that foolishness," you know. And they mean, "Do it again." They mean, "Oh, you didn't forget. You didn't forget that you were a child, that you could have fun doing nothing and just being wonderful." Isn't it something how our pets never grow up? They always want to waggle their tails. They always want to come next to us. They always want to sit with their nose on our toes. They always want to be very close to us. They always want to nibble on our fingertips while we're sleeping. They want to do all the silly little things that really don't mean a thing, but it means something precious to them. It means contact. It means awareness. All of us are spiritually illumined. We were born that way. And then we turned it off. We turned it off by saying, "Well, it's too good to be true." We turned it off by saying that there's no way that we could begin to express our spiritual awareness like that, you know, our illumination, because it's grand. And then we begin our big monumental pedestal, and we keep building the pedestal day after day after day, and we keep pushing our spiritual illumination higher up out of our reach. And we say, "Oh, that's only for the illumined saints, only for the illumined masters, only for Herb Byerly." And I like that when you say that. But You shouldn't say that. You should say, it's you. It's you. It's you who is the spiritual master. And when you start claiming being the spiritual master, I would suggest that you claim being the spiritual master just like you claim your childhood silliness, you know? Just like you claim the fact that it's fun to be nonsensical. And did you ever feel like taking a car, a little toy car, and taking that car and giving it with all your might so it goes crashing through wherever it's going to go? And not even stopping to think, hey, there's some glasses over there, or hey, it might hit your sister in the nose, or some other silly thing like that, you know. But just going crashing over. And you see, that abandonment, without repercussions, without thinking about what it's going to do, or is somebody going to be unhappy if we do that? It's a joy of doing it in our heart that says, whatever I want to do is okay. Now, you see, but it isn't okay whatever you want to do. Yes, it is. It always was okay to do whatever you wanted to do. Because inside of you is a guideline. And that guideline says, this is the right thing to do. The guideline says, this is a happy thing to do. You understand? The guideline makes no limitations for us. It doesn't say we cannot be silly. It does not say we cannot do, quote, quote, stupid things, you see? It doesn't say that. It says, just be yourself and have fun. And you go out in the yard as a little child and you play. And when you're done playing and it's time to come in, nighttime, time for bed, time to come in for supper, time to come in for whatever reason your mom wants you to come in, you look at what you've been doing and you say, that was good. And you jump up in the air and you land down on top of it to crunch it. Now, you're not trying to keep other children from enjoying it, because no other child would want it. He wants to do his own thing. You're not trying to keep the world from seeing the genius that you have. It's just that's yours. And you can do anything with yours that you want to do. You can do like Donald Simoto said in Illusions with Richard Bach. You can destroy it. You can build it. Why do you think the Hindus have the destroyer and the redeemer and the savior, the builder? Why do they have these beings as their gods? The Christians have the same thing. The Christians think they're so almighty wonderful, and that the Hindu heathen philosophy is so far-fetched from their own. And it's not. Who is the builder in Christian philosophy? Jesus. Who is the destroyer?
The devil.
Satan. And Satan is given all of the majesty that the Hindus give to their destroyer, you know? And every religion has these things, because that's part of the heart of life, of humanity. It's the destroying and the building and the destroying and the building. Now, you might say the infinite creative cause does the same thing. It builds planets on which humanity exists, and then it destroys it. It has earthquakes and hurricanes, and it has all sorts of tectonic plates that flash across the planet over hundreds of millions of years, and changing the landscape so that you can't even say what was there before. Some places remain on top and some places are down on the bottom. And the ones on the bottom were not the bad ones. The ones on the top were not the good ones. It's just how the cookie crumbled, that's all. And it wasn't a good or bad thing. You see, we label things as good and bad, and because we're labeling things as good or bad, then we are saying that some things are worthy of our attention and some things are not worthy of our attention. The same goes with our spiritual path, with our spiritual illumination. We label some of the things relative to our spiritual illumination as bad, and so we do nothing about it. Or we label it as so good that there's no way we could ever qualify for enjoying it, you know? And it's strange. Now, in your dreams, Oh, and dreams are such fun things. We should really talk about them sometime. But in your dreams, what do you do? Do you ever fly in the air? Do you ever swim underneath the ocean, just having a ball without breathing apparatus, and you're just being normal? You don't even think you don't have something to breathe. You don't even think that your eyes are not accustomed to looking in salt water and seeing clearly all the time. You know, fish have modifications with their eyes that allow them to do that, you know. But in your dream, you can do all these things. And in your special thinking time, you can do all these things. What we want to train ourselves to do is to live in our special thinking time all of the time. We want to live in that time of illumination all of the time. And what does it mean to be illuminated? What does it mean to be illuminated? Think about it. To be made full of light, full of awareness, full of knowledge, full of whatever the experience is. They say, oh, they had an illumination. Well, their illumination may have been that they didn't know they were sitting on an oil well, and they found out, whoosh, up at the house. No. But the thing is, those things can happen. You don't know the wonderful genius that lay within you. You don't know the magnificence that lies underneath you. You don't know who you really are. You have no idea how grand you are, because you have been taught you're not grand. Now, why would anyone teach us that we are not grand? Because if we think we're too good, we won't harmonize with our community. Our parents and our teachers teach us that we should blend and harmonize with the community. Well, it's the little children who are not afraid to go in and say, you're okay, come on now, you can get out, you can do this. But son, there's only so much room there, I can't crawl through. But dad, you can do anything, come on. And so then the dad tries to go through, and lo and behold, it breaks away so he can go through. He hadn't tried. He hadn't put forth the effort. He hadn't looked at it, as the Germans would say, he hadn't probiert it. He hadn't given it that checkout to see whether maybe it would work. And this is what we can do with our spiritual illumination. Check it out. See how it does work. Believe in yourself. Know that you are a magical being. Know that you are supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I think that's just a wonderful phrase. And, you know, it's too bad that Mary Poppins and the show have sort of disappeared for a while, but it'll come back again and again. But it's not the idea supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's the idea that it's a silly word. It's a non-entity. It is a something that has no purpose, no nothing, no anything. And it's just a lovely concept. And it's silly. It's silly. Anybody who hears it has to snicker. And that's beautiful, but that is what it's all about. We are walking our spiritual path, and we want to walk it not with a snicker, but with a joy in our heart, because it is there for us, and it is there 100% for us. And as it is there 100% for us, we can have anything that we wish. Anything. Spiritual illumination makes us aware of all the magic that's in our heart, in our soul, in our being, which we have paid no attention to before. Spiritual illumination opens the door for all that awareness within us to come flashing, shining forth as a beautiful symbol of magic, a beautiful symbol of possibility, a beautiful symbol of something that had perhaps never been tried before. But you know, it's been tried before. There's nothing new under the sun. And if you think that you're coming up with something wonderful like levitation Oh, look, I can levitate. Well, big deal. That's been done for ages. But we've been taught that you can't do that. You cannot defy gravity. Well, scientists are showing us every day how we can defy gravity. Look at how they make artificial gravity on spaceships, you know? They have to make artificial gravity on spaceships so that people will stay in one place. Otherwise, they go floating around in the spaceship. And they make this artificial gravity. Sometimes they make it by having magnetic form on your boots so that you'll stick to the floor or stick to the wall or something. But you see, in space, charmingly, there is no up or down. There is no in or out. You can say, down there is Earth, but then up there is Earth, because your position changes as you orbit around the Earth's atmosphere, you know, as you are going around the moon and the stars. And so there it is, you know. It's up, it's down. Well, what's up and what's down? It's just from where your perspective is. Now, what if you were standing on your feet, hooked to the spacecraft, which was churning and turning, and so now you're standing upside down, looking up at the moon, which is really down below you because the spaceship is twisting the wrong way, because your center of gravity throws you off. You see, it isn't what it seems to be, and it never will be what it seems to be, because we make it what it seems to be by our every thought. And this is kind of an exciting adventure. We make life be what it is by our thought, by our action, by what we feel is important. So as we are looking at our spiritual illumination, as we are being aware of our spiritual illumination, we want to really be wide open to all of the impossibilities, all of the things that we felt couldn't be done. You say, Herb, that's just a lot of humanistic attitudes. And I said, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. The more you train yourself right now to be master of everything, the more you are aware of your spiritual illumination. Spiritual illumination is the awareness of you as the allness. You say, wow, me as the allness. As the allness is wonderful. Well, this morning we had an argument at the table about the allness and the isness, and that you can be aware of limited concepts while you are the allness, and that if anything is possible, then anything is possible. Then we cannot categorically say that if you are the allness, you are not aware of the finiteness. And if you are the finiteness, you cannot be aware of the allness. Now, are you ready for that leap in faith? Are you ready? It's a very comfortable feeling to think that the allness is not aware of the uniqueness, and the uniqueness is not aware of the allness. That's very comfortable. Because when you say that, then you say, well, I must yet be quite unique, because I'm not fully aware of the all. Or, I am aware of the concept allness, and I'm aware of the concept uniqueness, and so therefore I'm aware of both. Well, enjoy. Enjoy. The fact is that just because you are aware of what it might be to be a man, and you are aware of what it might be to be a woman, that doesn't mean you're both man and woman. You could be, but you'd be a rare thing indeed. And how can you say that you could be and be a rare thing if you had never met a rare thing to be aware of how it was under both conditions, you know? That's just like saying, oh, you can do anything. Well, that's true, you can. That's true, you can. But how many of these anythings have you checked into to see how they work and how they function and whether they are responsive to one another or not? This is a big feature. It's a big feature in our spiritual path. And I like to tell all of the people that I work with, It is smarter to stay a beautiful relative being, aware that there is a divinity, that there is a greater cause than you have used, but it still is yours. And this greater cause that you haven't used, but it's yours, is there for you to use anytime you want. And if you want to be with 99 and 99, 100% of human creation, then don't dig into absolute. Because the moment you start digging into absolute, you are not going to be a good, normal human being. Because you know there is something greater than you have ever experienced before. You know there is something greater than anything that you've known. And knowing that makes you a very ineffective person as a human being. Can you imagine Superman? You all know about Superman, a good cartoon character. Can you imagine Superman with his wonderful ability to go around into the atmosphere and dash around and speed around the earth backwards and make time stop and stop something that was happening before it happened so that it wouldn't happen? And can you imagine Superman seeing with his X-ray eyes, now they probably call them different laser eyes maybe, but seeing with his X-ray vision through buildings and through mountains and through the earth and seeing what's going on with his wonderful friend Lois Lane? Can you imagine that? And can you imagine Superman hearing Lois Lane calling out and needing his help on the other side of the city? And there's a whole city full of people calling out, needing his help in between, but he hears Lois Lane. And he, in one landing, fell swoop, whoosh, over there to pick her up and take her out. And she says, "Oh, Superman, you're so wonderful." He doesn't have a mask on. He doesn't have anything on except that silly costume and the cape and so forth. And yet Lois Lane doesn't recognize Superman as Clark Kent, the man that she works with in her office every day. You know? It's wonderful. It's wonderful how we can be so blind and be so aware at the same time. Because Lois Lane knows that Superman is her dream man, and she knows that Clark Kent is not her dream man, that he is just an ordinary, simple reporter who has no more talent than another reporter, but he's a nice guy, you know. But it's the same man who plays these two roles, and yet he doesn't play either one very mockingly different. Now, this is how we are. We're playing these roles. We have the ability to be Superman. We have the ability to see through walls. We have the ability to fly and to do all sorts of good stuff. And we have the ability to be an ordinary man, putting on a suit of clothes that nobody would recognize, that we got Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger's body underneath there, you know. And I mean, you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger as the governor of California now in the photographs. He's a handsome looking man, and he fills his suit quite nicely, but he doesn't fill it more than anybody else. Looking with his suit on, he looks like a quite normal, he doesn't look like the Terminator. He doesn't look like the gargantuan person that he plays on the movies and television. But you see, that's the joke. That's the game. That's the game. We are things that you cannot see. We are things that we have not given ourselves credit for. And we have that ability to do it. Now, our friend one of the first guys who taught weightlifting. Remember, his ads in the papers all the time?
Atlas.
Say it again.
Atlas?
No. Come. He's in all of the popular science magazines with this ad upside down and stuff like that. And Charles Atlas? Yeah, Charles Atlas, you're right. Charles Atlas, you got to say the whole name. Charles Atlas. Yeah, Atlas, I always think of as the guy, leave it, pick it up and sit it down. But I always think of the guy as being a very special guy. And he has great talent, great ability, and yet he has never done anything with it. He's never done anything with it. He's just been himself and made a little bit of money and taught people how to lift weights and things like that. But he's now he has to get attention. So he puts his ad in the Popular Science magazine upside down. He's the only buddy, the only person who puts it in upside down. And so you don't have to read the ad. You know what it says, and you know that that's him. And so he could really take a smaller ad. But that's Charles Atlas. Yes, you're right. Yeah, I studied under Charles Atlas when I was a kid, too. And And it was a wonderful experience. It was a wonderful experience to study under these things and know these things. But you see, this is part of what life is all about. Life is all about being who you are and being the magic that you are and doing the things that you never dreamed that you could do. Doing the three things that you never imagined that you could do. Now, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And we have unfortunately closed the door on ourselves by saying that we cannot do that. Now, along came the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and a thing called steroids. And steroids were used by weightlifters and athletes and Olympic contestants and stuff like that. And that they just had a ball. They just had a ball doing their thing. And they were perfectly good. But along came some people who said, that is bad. They said that is bad. And they planted seeds in the consciousness of humanity that that was bad. And yet it was something that was rather remarkable. But because they planted the seeds in the consciousness of humanity that that was bad, then the steroids worked in a negative way for humanity. You say, well, Herb, that's the way they work. The people who do that, this is what happens to them, and that's what happens. No, it isn't. This is the thought that's in the consciousness of humanity. This is in the thought that the people who weren't using steroids and didn't have the advantage of it were knocking the people who did. Now, I'm not saying you should use something like that or you shouldn't. I'm merely saying that is but one example of how it's used. Now, open your dumb minds right now. Go ahead, open your dumb minds. The doctor gives you a placebo and you get well. Ho, 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 ho. The doctor gives you a pill and you get well. Ho, ho, ho. Now, what healed you, the placebo or the pill? Your thought. Your thought. And if you don't think it's your thought that's doing the job, go to some other doctor and he'll give you a placebo and you think you're getting a pill. You know? It's crazy. It's up to us to realize that we have in our consciousness the ability to do anything. Now, if in every doctor's office the doctor would say to the patient, well, don't you look wonderful today? You know, they're on the next side of death. And the doctor says, how are you coming along? What can I do for you? You look so wonderful. And they'd say, well, doc, I need some help here and there and the other thing. And he'd say, well, have you tried thinking the right thoughts? You tell me to think the right thoughts. Don't you want some money from me? Don't you want to sell me some pills and stuff? Yes, we'll get around to that. But right now, let's find out how much I can charge you. Now, have you been taking your right thoughts? Have you been thinking the right thoughts? Well, I've been very sick, and I've been this, and I've been that, and I've been the other thing. That's beautiful. You have really built yourself into a negative condition where you do not want to use positive ideas to benefit yourself. So now, that's what I want. I want people who have negative attitudes about themselves to come into my office, because then I can give them pills, and I can give them all sorts of things that will upset them. And so, what happens? But if a doctor does that, people say, I'm not coming in here anymore. This is a silly place. And so he goes to another place. And the other place, the doctor says, oh, I see that you are ready to put the cause in motion for your perfection. Yes, I sure want a pill for it. No, the pill is a mental attitude. Now, I'm going to hypnotize you, and I'm going to tell you that you are a mouse, and you are running around the house, and that you have no problems at all, and that you will live forever. Okay, click. Now you think you're a mouse running around the house and living forever. Now, are you enjoying yourself? Squeak, squeak, squeak. Well, would you like to stay that way? You can live forever, you know. The mouse's life is many times multiplied by putting them on starvation diets like old people have, you know. How wonderful that is, you know. And, oh, come on now, don't be so silly. Well, click, he's no longer hypnotized. So you think that's silly. You know, so you think that's silly. Thoughts are things. Thoughts are things, and whatever we think, those are the thoughts that we put in motion, and those are the conditions that we put in motion for ourselves. Now, what do you want? What do you want for your world? What do you want for your life? And are you willing to do what has to be done? Well, sure, I'm willing to do anything. I'll go to the ends of the world. I don't want you to go to the ends of the world. I just want you to go to the ends of your thought system. Well, how do I go to the ends of my thought system? Well, you begin thinking, I am spiritually illumined. I know the right thing to do. I am spiritually illumined. I know the right thing to do. I am spiritually illumined. I know the right thing to do. I am spiritually illumined. I know the right thing to do. And as you put that into practice for yourself, you know the right thing to do. Now, what is the right thing for you to do? What is the right thing for you to do to not overcome your problems, but to put new experiences in motion for yourself? You mean new problems? No, just new experiences. You could put new problems in motion for yourself by worrying about what other people are doing, worrying about how the conditions of the earth are. You could put new problems in there, but if you say, instead of worrying about it, all is in divine order, then you're spiritually illumined. You see something no one else can see. You see that the world is in a very good condition. You see that the people in the world are very wonderful. You see that all is in divine order. And when you do that, you're putting a whole new purpose in motion for the universe and for the world and for yourself. This is a very demanding thing, because only you can do it for yourself. There's so many people that feel that they want somebody else to do it for them. You know, in the olden days, they used to pay people to fill their draft spot for them. When they were called into service, they'd pay somebody else to go to service for them. And they thought, well, hey, that's pretty cool. And so they would give the money to their family, and they'd go into service, and they'd get shot, and they'd be killed, and then their family had the money. But you can't do that on your spiritual path. You cannot pay someone else to walk the path for you. You cannot go to church and give an offering and expect that you're going to be spiritually illumined. And you cannot go to church and give an offering and expect that you're going to be forgiven for your sins. Because you will never, 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 never be forgiven for your sins. You will never be forgiven for your sins. You will never be forgiven for your sins. You will never be forgiven for your sins. It's not because you don't have them. You will never be forgiven for your sins. Because every time you think about what you call your sins, you are empowering them to be born anew. And so they're born again, they're born again, they're born again. And your sins just keep escalating in a beautiful way. So, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we are going to think about the beautiful things in our life, think about the glorious things in our life, think about the wonderful things, the creative things that we do, then those are the things that we live by. If a man lives by sin, then that's what he lives by. If he lives by love, then that's what he lives by. You say, well, man, the sin is there, you know. That's what the devil is all about. That's what hell and purgatory are all about. That's the devil. Hey, cool. What wonderful creative imagination brought those things into being. Really nice. That's called manipulation. Manipulation. If you don't be a good boy, you're going to get a spanking. If you don't be a good boy, I'm going to call the policeman to come over and take you and put you in jail. If you don't be a good boy, I'm going to call God and tell him that, you know, you're not being a good boy and he should send you all sorts of illnesses and stuff. If you don't be a good boy, I'm going to tell Santa Claus and he's not going to bring you any Christmas presents, you know. See, manipulation. Manipulation. And that doesn't stop there. That is a seed planted of ugliness in our consciousness that just grows and grows and grows. If you don't be a good boy, You know what I'm going to do? I am going to give you whatever you ask. Ooh, boy. If I'm not a good boy, I get whatever I ask. That's right. Now, what would you like? Well, I'd like some ice cream. Okay, here you are. Now, will you eat all the ice cream I give you? Sure. Okay, here's a big quart of it, you know, or maybe 2 quarts of ice cream. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Glug, 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 halfway through. I can't eat the rest, Dad. Well, you said you could. You said you could. And certainly any boy who is a master of himself, he can do anything like that. But, Dad, I'm full. My tummy hurts. Well, if you were, you know, doing anything you want to do, that's what you would do. But, Dad, I don't want to do that. Okay, then next time we won't do that. Next time we'll do something nice. Oh, thank you, Dad. You know. Then you say, Dad, my tummy still hurts. Dad says, well, I have some special medicine here for you. And I will give it to you right now. So he mixes up this medicine. But it's just water. I know, just drink it. And the baking soda goes down and poof, the stomach ache is all gone. All is in balanced order. And the kid thinks, oh, Dad knows such magic, you know. And that's okay. But the thing is, what we want to do, we don't fight. We don't fight for anything in life. We live for things. We live for the beauty and the goodness and the right action and the truth and the love. We live for everything that's glorious and good. And this is what we want to learn how to do. This is what we want to learn how to do as being spiritually illumined beings. A spiritually illumined being is not a person who's going to go out and make miracles for himself and others. A spiritually illumined being is not going to go out and make miracles for himself and others. A spiritually illumined being is not going to go out and make miracles for himself and others. What?
No.
What?
Only for himself.
What?
He does it what? For himself.
What? He reveals them. Oh. They're already there. They're already there. There are no miracles in this world. It's already there. We merely reveal it. We merely reveal it. Sylvia, under your pillow is the key for your lockbox of your bank box. It's filled with $12 billion, and you just leave it there. Hey, Sylvia, that's a silly thing to do. You should put it in stocks and bonds so it can grow. You leave it there under your in the bank box, and nothing happens to it. It just stays the same.
Would you take it along next week?
I will do that for you. Yes. slight charge, a smile. But you see, you must think in the direction of joy and positivity rather in the direction of unhappiness. Now, what happens to people who just hoard their money and put it in their mattress? Well, their mattress gets lumpy. That's what happens. It's very uncomfortable. But there are people who have that, say, great. Are you jealous of people who have money? Are you jealous of people who have things that you don't have? Are you? The answer is yes. Why are you jealous of people who have things that you don't have? The reason you're jealous of people who have things that you don't have is because you haven't learned their technique. Now, do they want what they have? No. Do they need what they have? No. Do they enjoy what they have? Maybe, but no. Why do they have it? Why does anybody have anything that apparently they don't need? Because their consciousness says, I am all. I have abundance. I have health. I have every wonderful and good thing that ever could be dreamed about. Do you say that about yourself? Are you a spiritually illumined being who always speaks positively for yourself? Are you a spiritually illumined being who is always telling yourself that you are wonderful, that you are grand, that you are perfect, that you are just utterly amazing? Yes. How often have you told that to yourself recently? How often have you said, well, I went to visit a friend and the friend gave me a hard time. Yeah, you know, and I went to tell my son what to do, and he was arguing back with me. And I was eating some food, and it wasn't my particular type of food. It gave me a stomachache. Yeah. Now, what would a spiritually illumined being say? I went to eat some food. It was brand new, unique. It wasn't my thing, but it was okay, you know. Poof in, poof out, you know. Schnapps in, out, you know. Don't give it a thought. Don't let anything in the outer manipulate your inner, whether it's food or thought, or wine or whiskey or women. Don't let anything in the outer manipulate your inner. Don't let any thoughts in the outer manipulate your inner. Because you are the master. You are the one who is the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the totality of all that is. And if you don't like that, my goodness sakes, you have just given up a great privilege. And the great privilege is for you, not for somebody else. It's for you. Because only you can have all the good there is on earth. Only you can have all the joy there is on earth. Only you can have all the snickers and smiles that there is on earth. You say, well, nobody else can have any. No, no. Only you can have, and again, you might say yours. Only you can have all, because what you, Ellen says, the allness and the uniqueness can be known by each other. So, if the allness is all of the smiles known on earth, then there are no other smiles by anybody. She has them all, and she's hoarding them. She's not letting anybody else have any smiles. She's keeping them all to herself. Now, isn't that interesting how she does that? Isn't that fascinating? Now, none of the rest of you have any smiles, right? You don't have any love, you don't have any peace, you don't have any joy, any harmony. Why don't you?
I do.
Oh, you do. Where did it come from?
It's always there. From, it's me.
Yeah, thank you. It was always there from me. It comes from us. We are the source, and we are the outpicturing of it. We are the allness. And so when we recognize that it all comes from us, are we going to try to make other people happy? What do?
We are happy.
We are happy, yeah?
And that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters. Now, what are you going to do for wealth?
Same thing.
Now, where is the wealth coming from?
Within.
Okay. If wealth is coming from within, if all is coming from within, if all is our divine reality, then why are we searching outwardly? We search outwardly because that's what we've been taught to do. We have to go and get a job. We have to go and earn the money. We have to invest the money in our stocks and bonds. What term do we use about money? I'm independently wealthy. Why do we say I am independently wealthy?
Because only can come from anywhere.
Yeah, go.
No limits.
Yeah, no limit. It could come from anywhere. What else?
It is there.
It's already there.
That is it?
It is there.
What?
It's already there.
We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to do anything. It's already there. And it's for us. It's already there. And it always was already there. And it's standing there waiting for us to enjoy it. And do you know what we build this house with? Boards of gold. We put the carpet of titanium and platinum. It sounds pretty hard. But the value of the carpet is titanium and platinum. And the walls in here are painted with the purest silver sheen, you know. Money, 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 wealth, value. And what a waste You could take that down to the bank and you know, get money, dollars, cash for it. Yeah, yeah. You see, when we stop looking outwardly, we find that we are everything. I am spiritually illumined. I am spiritually illumined. I look within and I find my spiritual illumination. I look within and I find my reality. I look within and I have everything that I could ever want, ever be, or ever experience. I am that I am. You follow that? It's a great and a wonderful experience for us. It's a fantastic experience for us. It's something that each one of us could put in our consciousness and enjoy right this minute. If you're ready for that, then you're ready for magic and miracles. Now, every one of us can be spiritually illumined. Every one of us can be spiritually illumined. Every one of us can be spiritually illumined. Oh, it is. Oh, that's nice. When did that happen?
Always.
We always are spiritually illumined. Well, why is it then that we pretend that we're not? Yes.
It's all for the game of...
It's a game.
Pretending to forget who we are in order to discover that we are the master of our world. And through that discovery is the complete enjoyment of it all.
Rhonda, your comments are delightful, charming, and beautiful, but they are not reaching the microphone. And if you're going to say, that's okay, if you're going to say something illuminating and inspiring, you must say it loud enough so everyone can hear it. Because this will go on the internet later, and it will go to friends of yours who will say, yeah, that's Rhonda. He's keeping it always to yourself. But we don't say that, do we? We say Rhonda shares it out openly and wonderfully. Rhonda is always doing it. And Ellen, do you speak loud?
Oh, yes.
Sylvia, do you speak loud?
Oh, yes.
And Gertrude, do you speak loud?
Oh, yes.
I like that. And Christina, do you speak like an angel?
Yes.
And Ingeborg, do you have a mouth?
Yes, I have a mouth. Sometimes too big. Too loud.
Oh. When would Ingeborg ever have a mouth that was too loud? She would have a mouth that is too loud whenever she says something contrary to her highest nature. Whenever she says something in harmony with her highest nature, it's never too loud. Right? Right. So we want to always speak those things that are harmonious with our highest nature. And the only way we can speak those things that are harmonious with our highest nature is to know that we are now spiritually illumined. We are now expressing all that we are and all that we can be. Now, are you doing that?
I do my best.
Now, Ingeborg puts her hands up in sort of a backing off position and saying, I'm not perfect. I'm not wonderful. I'm not fantastic. And then she comes out with the words, I do my best. Well, now, Ingeborg, yes, I'm fantastic. Yes, I'm wonderful. Yes, I'm great. Yes, I'm everything. Say it.
Yes, I'm great. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic.
Now,
I'm immune.
You what?
I am immune.
You're immune?
Illumined.
Illumined. Ooh-hoo-hoo. She is illumined. Fantastic. But you are not being an honorable lady when you think you are being humble falsely by saying, a little bit, or I'm working on it, or I'm trying. That is garbage. And that is not the kind of garbage that you know. You know how to say, yes, I can. Yes, I am. Yes, it is. See, always be positive. Are you illumined?
Yes, I am.
I like that. Are you a magnificent woman?
Yes, I am.
Are you the kind of woman that every man would like to follow home?
Yes.
You're right. And do you make your choices?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. And are you a happy lady?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. I like that. And are you a rich lady?
Yes, also rich.
Also rich, right. And do you have the most wonderful life of anyone on the face of the earth?
Yes, I have.
That's great. Well, keep it up. And it's a false humility when you say, I'm trying and I'm working on it, because that's not true. You're never trying it. You're never probing it, right? You are either doing it or you are not doing it. And whatever you do, you just do whatever is right for you, and you do it harmoniously, and you do it joyously. Now, Ellen is just going out of her gourd trying to figure out who is making all these telephone calls. And Ellen, that is a wonderful growth of not being touched. You see? This week, you have announced to everyone that has been calling us that we will be having this seminar, and we will be having a seminar that is very, 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 very important to you. Because during the seminar, somewhere in the many lectures we'll be giving, is going to be a secret just for you. And if your attention is always 100% in focus, you will hear that secret. It's like these radio shows. We will give you the secret word. And if you call in the secret word, you will win the Mercedes 450 SL, you know. And so everybody listens to the radio. Secret word, what's the secret word, you know? How do I know it's going to be secret? Because we'll say, the secret word is. But you have to be listening, you know. You have to be listening. Maybe it's in our 12 o'clock midnight show. Maybe it's in our noontime show. Maybe it's in the wind. You don't know. But we're making you stick your nose to the radio constantly, and then we have 20,000 other people also sticking their nose to it, and so whoever gets us first gets the car. And of course, it's not going to be you. What? Oh, you're all going to win it, huh? You're all going to win it. You're all going to win it. You're all going to win it. You're all going to win it.
Ah, yeah. I have it already.
That's the word. I have it. It is mine. I'm not going to win it. It's mine. They bought that car for me. And they put on this game just to make everybody, you know, be alert and listen to the radio. But it was mine from the very moment they picked it up at the dealer. The dealer said, how does Miss Ends like to have the color in her car? What kind of a radio does she like? What kind of upholstery does she like? What type of coloring on the outside does she like? Does she like to have it with a man or without, you know? But how does she want to have it, you know? And isn't that what they ask? Isn't that what they ask? Play the game. Play the game. Isn't that what they ask?
Without men.
You're being very silly.
That made me
love,
chauffeur.
Love? Yeah, she was going to say. That's a paid full-time chauffeur who's available to do anything else you want him to do, clean the house and do it, cook the meals and do everything you want.
He can also be your lover at the same time.
Well, if that's important, that's there too. But never give up a beautiful gift. Because, madam, you may not need to have a man right now, but the man is available, and so what are you going to do? You're going to have him be the gardener at the monastery. You're going to have him be the perfect typesetter who sets the type in perfect order for you. You're going to have him do 101 things that Brian could never begin to do. Now, if you don't always take everything that comes your way and make a silk purse out of the sow's ear, then you don't deserve the sow's ear, you know. What do you do with lemons?
Lemonade.
You make lemonade. And you get kissing sweet lips that way. But you never turn down anything.
You said before,
When you are illumined, you have everything. You have your beard again. You eat again. You have your clothes. You said before, on your path, you don't shave and you do all these things. But once you are it,
then you're there.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that a great experience? Isn't that a great awareness? Yeah. Charles Atlas. But isn't that a great awareness? Now, come to that awareness for yourself. Come to that awareness that you are illumined now. You are illumined now. Now, it is not going to come later. The package has already arrived, and you've already opened it. You didn't recognize what it was, but you've already opened it. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You're just going to let it lay on the shelf? Or are you going to institute it and utilize it so that it's beneficial to you? Now, Gertrude said, Herb, I'm bringing you some candy, and I'm bringing you your shirts, and I'm bringing you this. And so what does she do? She has her luggage be delayed. You know? She has her luggage be delayed. And here I was expecting to have the candy the minute she came off the plane. And all I got was her lips. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
and
best candy.
The best candy, right. But why did you do that? And I'm not being facetious here. Why do we have any experiences happen in our life at all? We have them for some glorious awareness experience. Gertrude had that experience, so she would not say, oh darn. She would not have to lift them up off of the ramp of the what do they call that, where the luggage goes around, the turtle, the turnstile. She wouldn't have to lift it up off of there. She wouldn't have to put it in the car. She wouldn't have to carry it in the house. She came home the next day. They delivered it to her. A handsome young man came and said, well, Miss Suter, I have your suitcases here. And she said, well, bring them right on in. Put them right over here, right next to my bed. And he was very happy to do it. You see, she is wiser than we give her credit for. We just thought she was dumb in having her luggage misplaced, you know. But no, she had it done that way, so she didn't have to think a thing about it. And she had a personal chauffeur bring it up. And when that man brought it up, she didn't discharge him. She said, thank you, sir. And he gave her a big hug and a kiss and said, that's part of the service, ma'am. But are you spiritually illumined? Are you now? Are you aware of being spiritually illumined? Are you aware that every single thing you do is an act of spiritual illumination? Yeah. I went to Christina and Henley's house, and they made dinner for me. And as I was eating the dinner, thoroughly enjoying the broccoli and stuff, his children looked at me and says, mentally, they said, don't eat it all up. We love that stuff, you know. And so then when Hangley offered me some more, I said, well, make sure there's enough to go around. He said, oh, there's enough to go around. I could hear the kids saying, Dad, Dad. But you see, that's abundance. That's abundance. That's creativity. That's having sufficient. And was there enough to go around? Yes. Did the children clean out the bowl? Almost. Almost, but not fully. You see, that's the art of abundance, never having the bowl empty. And so the children were not able to say that they hadn't enough because there was still a little bit left in the bowl. Good stuff, good stuff. This is where we each stand, and this is where we each have the responsibility of being ourselves and having fun. You are spiritually illumined right now. You are spiritually illumined in every beautiful way, and I see this for you now, and I see this for you forever. And I love you, I love you, I love you.